guys. Welcome to The Mom Voice. This is Lauren and Sarah with episode 64.
Oh my gosh, Lauren, I just had the craziest experience. I just ran to the bathroom right before we started to record, and a callback to a previous episode.
What? I'm trying to think what...
I'm right in the middle of my time of the month.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I decided I was going to be a little naughty because it's 9:30 at night here in the business building that we're recording.
Yes.
And they have like the primo industrial toilets in there.
Oh, okay. You?
And so I'm like, I'm going to be naughty. I'm going to flush my tampon, you guys. So
look at you.
I know. I go, I stand up, I go to flush the toilet and it comes back up.
What?
Just the tampon floats back up. I flush it again. It still comes back up.
It comes back up?
Kid you not. It's like coming
It's
back.
Haunting you. It's saying no. You.
Literally, I flushed it 3 times. It legit came up from the hole 3 different times.
Oh.
And I ended up taking it out and throwing it in the trash.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Well, okay, right. You kind of have to give a quick recap of our big tampon debate.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
What, 10 episodes ago? Because someone asked me the other day and I was like, you didn't know that story?
It
was
like. Oh my gosh. So this all came about like really high level. You got to go back and listen to it. But over Christmas break, me and my sister-in-law's got into a debate about whether or not people flush their tampons. I was adamant that no, they did not. Hello. Every single sign you read in a public restroom.
So Sarah had like never flushed a tampon.
Legit. That was the first time I've tried and it kept coming up.
And it was saying, do not enter. No, you are not doing this.
And so then it like just caught on like kind of wildfire. We had people very heated about this discussion.
Yeah, well, right. One way or the other. And we very, very both ways, both sides. It was very funny.
Oh
and
my
it
gosh.
Was, it was fun.
Anyway, so that literally just made me die laughing. I was like, why won't it flush?
Like, she came in here like laughing and giggling. And I was just like, what just happened? She's like, I'll tell you once we're on.
I was so
like,
weird.
Okay.
It was weird.
That is so funny.
But before we get going, as always, please go leave us a rating and a review if you enjoy what you hear on the show today. We really, really appreciate it. And it really is the only way that the podcast is able to grow. And then we are on Instagram at the Mom Voice Podcast. You can always go chat with us on there. Okay. Well, today, we're recording at night, but when this drops, it will be daytime. And we are going to be talking about mom brain.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mom brain or mommy brain? What do you call it?
Yeah. Mom brain.
Mom brain.
Mom brain.
Yeah. Essentially, you know, that forgetfulness, that spaciness.
Right.
All the things that come with being a mom.
Right.
And being pregnant, really. Right?
Absolutely.
So we're going to cover a little bit of all of it. At first, it was just going to kind of be share our experiences or whatnot. But
right.
To be honest, like it was hard. I feel like it is such a thing that I dealt with, but I wasn't able to nail down like specific.
It's like all foggy.
Right.
It's just kind of like a weird fog. Well, I have to laugh because when we were literally Marco Poloing back and forth about this subject.
Yeah.
There was like straight in like 60 seconds. I was stopped talking and was thinking about something like major mom brain,
which
like,
you do often,
which I was like, wait, did I schedule that for this time? That I'm literally thinking I can't function. I'm not speaking. And then I had to laugh because then she Marco Polos me back and she's like, well, we could do this and talk about this. And she's like, oh shoot, I just missed my exit. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like pure adequate moments of mom brain here in like the 4 minutes we've talked back and forth.
You're so right.
And granted, that's like just like a one-sided conversation, but it's like mega mom brain.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even put that together. You're so right. That's so funny. So yeah, we're going to kind of talk about like what it is. And then, you know me, I had to go like research it to death.
Yeah, Sarah had to find some scientific method proven behind the theory of mom brain in our bodies.
All of it. I'm coming at you with the knowledge. I have it bullet pointed out. It will not be boring. It's going to be fascinating, okay? Blow your mom brain minds, okay? You want to just dive right in?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's do it. So how would you describe mom brain yourself?
Well, I think mom brain is like a... First of all, the first thing I would describe it as is like a forgetfulness. I think that's like the key, like if it's walking into a room and forgetting why you're there, if it's forgetting an appointment, if it's forgetting to pick up a child, it's all of those things.
Or I feel like forgetfulness. When you're looking for your keys and they're in your back pocket. Well,
yes, yes. And then that's kind of when you get into like even like, I don't know, checked out mode. Like
the your ditziness.
Spacey. Yeah, like you're spaced, you're like preoccupied, you're worried about this. When you're, yeah, you're like microwaving the forks and you're just like, oh my gosh, like doing stupid things. So there's that too.
So I describe it as having like a clouded thought process.
Yes, but you're just very foggy. Right. And I feel like you like live in a fog for like months. And mm-hmm. if that's created because of like a newborn stage or even just like a multiple like four or five kids stage, like there's just a lot of it.
So when I like really sat down before I started researching this topic to death, I kind of described it as, yes, like being very forgetful, having like a clouded brain, kind of like a hazy, like you yeah. said, feeling. But then I really feel like it hit me because throughout my pregnancy, it started in my pregnancy almost.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people do say that.
Yeah.
Like
your pregnant brain.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah, pregnancy brain.
Pregnancy
yeah.
brain. It is, yeah. right? Okay.
I think that's a thing too.
No, but I feel like I was starting to get sleep deprived like throughout my pregnancy because I'm up four or five times a night going pee, like I'm uncomfortable, like all the things. And then by the time the baby gets here, then you're up throughout the night feeding. And I can really remember with at least two of my children getting to like a year mark of literally not having 6 hours of continuous sleep. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, of 6 to 8 hours of like literal sleep, because throughout pregnancy, I'm waking up throughout the night. Like I felt like I was surviving on naps to some degree. Do you
yes.
know what I mean?
Okay. In your case, yes, with pregnancy, right. Because I'm sleeping like a baby during pregnancy,
oh, you're
but then
so lucky.
I'm on the other end and Sarah sleep trains. So she's like got like a sleeping baby by like 4 months.
That's
where
true.
I'm not. So yeah. you're on like the front end of it, like exhausted, and I'm more on the back end of it. But yeah that's true. Yeah. Probably both combined. It's probably a year.
It's
of
all
just sleep
deprivation.
Sleep. Yeah.
It's horrible. And I feel like that then affects like everything. It affects like me eating bad. I start to like eat at odd hours of the night or like,
you just give into the craving because you're just like too exhausted yeah. to like discipline yourself of like no treats today. Like you're just eating
exactly.
whatever's convenient.
You just like eat bad. I feel like I'm more emotional than I normally am. Like
yes.
my sex life starts to suffer because I'm tired and all the things like
and cranky.
I'm cranky. It's like, I'm short tempered, like right. all the stuff. Right. And so anyway, and the other thing when I was really thinking about my like mom brain back then is I feel like I kind of became like hyper focused. Do you know what I mean by that? Or like I was only able to focus on like one thing at a time.
Well, okay.
Whereas,
right.
so what I mean by that is like before I got pregnant, I feel like I could go to work, go to my corporate job, literally have five different meetings in the day, not take any notes. And then I could sit down at my desk in the late afternoon and literally dictate stuff down to notes off memory. I had like this recall in this memory that was just like, I would kill for it now. I just don't have it now. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And but I feel like once I got pregnant, I almost become so consumed with like researching baby names, researching pregnancy things. Why is my back hurting? Why is this happening? What if I get this? Or what if the baby has this? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I almost become hyper-focused on my baby. And it's like other things in my life start to kind of like fall.
Suffer, yeah.
Or become fuzzy, like hazy. They're secondary. You know what I mean?
Well, as you're describing that, I'm literally thinking of myself in quarantine.
Oh, really?
No, seriously, because I feel like with pre-quarantine, like we'd have five or six things to get done in the day for me before kids got home from school. And man, I could punch that out. If it was groceries, post office, yeah. work, gym, then prep dinner, straighten up, and the bus is here. Whereas like now in quarantine, it's been so weird. I feel like I've lost some sort of focus that I can barely get one thing done in that day, but yet I have more time on my hands.
I know.
But yet my day is so like debunked. It's like weird. Like I still feel very fuzzy.
Yeah.
So it's like funny. As you're saying that, I'm literally like, these are emotions I've literally gone through during quarantine.
Oh my
almost.
Gosh.
But
that's
anyways,
so funny.
Side note.
No, it's just, it's super interesting. So, I mean, can you think of like any specific instance, it was really hard for me when I was sitting trying to think of like, I know there have been a billion times I was probably like.
Well, haven't you said though, your memory has also gone too?
Oh, totally.
Since like, you know, even those early years, like we tease my one sister, she is like no memory. Like if it like happened a year ago or even 3 years ago, she's not going to remember. I feel like my memories are there, but it's funny to even recall on mom brain moments. It's almost like that blur is still there. It's still all a blur. Like it's hard to focus in on one experience or like this time. I mean, there have definitely been times where it's been crazy and I can want to blame it on the mom brain of like, again, forgetting a pickup or, you know, I packed all the lunches and they walked out the door and they're sitting right by the door. Like
stupid little things. Yeah.
And you're like, wait, what? That doesn't even make sense. How did I just do that? But you know, it's hard to think of examples because I think it was when you're in the thick of it, it's so kind of continual
and it's so blurry
that you're just kind of like, it's hard to think of, hopefully you don't have like one scarring experience where it's like you really did messed up, but
yeah, no, that's totally true. But here's like some things I've come to like conclude about mom brain.
Okay.
Okay. Everybody probably experiences it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
It is a true scientific condition. I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. Number three, I found it to be different at different stages of my parenting journey. So yeah. Pregnancy was different. Like the newborn stage was like this tired, hazed, like checked out mom brain. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes.
I feel like I have it now, 3 years out of my youngest child to some degree.
Yeah.
But it's more of like there's just 5 billion things floating around in my head at any given. I feel like I can't focus on something now. You know what I mean? Whereas I was hyper focused before. Now, heaven help me, I can't like focus on anything to save my life. I'm trying to like do 10 things at one time mm-hmm. and it's hard for me to give attention to one child at a time.
Oh, right.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So I feel like at times I'm just constantly forgetting something like, I told my husband I would pick up his suit at the dry cleaners or I forgot, you know, I just can never, I say this all the time. I can't keep everybody happy. It's hard.
Well, yeah, you're stretched so thin and it's all are. I mean, it's kind of like you feel like you're doing everything 50% and that's like super stressful.
I know. It's crazy. So, okay. Are you ready to just dive right in?
Yeah.
You ready to dive into the science?
Yeah. Tell me the science on
Get
this.
Get ready of it. So they're saying that what causes mom brain, obviously, is that it's our brain's like neurological way of kicking us into caring for the newborn, essentially. Okay. So I'm going to kind of walk you through what that is. But the overall message here is we need to just like trust the process. Trust that our brain knows what it's doing.
Interesting.
Embrace it.
Okay.
Lean into it.
Okay.
And do not look at it as a bad thing. Okay. Because lean into it. That's what all the podcasters say, Lauren.
Lean into it, guys.
Lean into it. Okay. No, literally, this is like a fascinating read. You're going to be like pretty blown away, okay? So over the past 10 years, scientists and researchers have actually done a lot of work on this, come to find out.
Okay.
They've done like multiple studies in like legit scientific journals. It's been published. Okay, I'm going to talk to you about the very first one that I found to be really interesting. So they took a study in the Journal of Behavioral Neuroscience. Legit, okay?
Oh, wow, yeah.
The researchers looked at moms' brains. So they took MRIs, brain scans, you know, from a group of moms 2 weeks after they gave birth, okay? And then again, they took brain scans from the same set of moms 3 months later, okay?
Oh, wow.
Using the MRI technology, they saw that all of the mothers had increased gray matter in certain areas of their brain. And what gray matter is like neurons, like muscle. It's like the activity in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like certain areas in their brain had grown 3 months after giving birth. Okay. So essentially they found that like three of our networks in our brains kind of are activated during this time. And the one that I like loved beyond all, like everything when I read is that it has now been proven, Lauren, when we see our babies for the first time, we fall in love at first sight, literally.
What does our brain show falling in love?
Okay. They have seen what the brains do when you fall in love. So essentially what it is we have what's called a reward network in our brain, and it's where oxytocin and dopamine gets released, and yes, it's that feeling. So when oxytocin is released in the brain, they call it the love hormone, because yeah, it's that feeling when you kiss, right, or you hug somebody. It's that like, oh, you
yes,
know, oh,
absolutely.
It's that feeling, right? Okay. So oxytocin gets flooded in the body. We feel that urge of just like love and affection, all of it. And then dopamine, we all know, is like the hit, right? They always right, say like right, drugs, all of it. Yeah. It's kind of the same network actually that like cocaine addicts, all of it, like anything you're addicted to essentially goes back to your reward network, and you're constantly wanting to get back to that happy feeling. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So they found in multiple new moms, the oxytocin and dopamine levels in their blood was like super high compared to before birth.
Oh,
isn't
my gosh,
that crazy?
That is crazy.
It's so fun.
That's
and
sweet.
It's so sweet. And they said it's kind of the same thing as like when you're falling in love for the first time.
Yes.
You have those same types of chemical reactions. Okay. Another one, they did again brain scans on these mothers. And there's this other network in the brain called the salience network, where that is where we have like we're hyper alert. And that's like where we can detect threats and like we're trying to protect our children.
Yeah.
So they say this is where moms sometimes have problems sleeping. They might
yeah,
hear
more sensitive,
hearing. Right.
Yeah.
And I totally had that happen. Like
yes,
I
say you can hear every like little gurgle or
every little pin drop,
grunt.
Yeah. It's crazy. And so this like network, whatever your brain is doing, is it's trying to help you protect your infant
yeah,
from like the minute you give birth.
I love that.
Isn't that crazy? It's kind of like bear mama mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And they say like, this is the times when, and I know we've had these instances where you could just like have that burst of adrenaline. You
right,
know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
When like you see your child in danger or they're choking or like
yes,
any little thing. And like mom is able to just like jump into action sometimes more than other adults in the room.
Oh, I bet.
And they say that it's interesting because, and I read, I won't go deep into all of this, but how there is literally a one-on-one connection with the mother and her child. Like I might not feel the same way towards your children. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of
like,
course,
and it has
right,
to do with, oh shoot, I read it. It was their odor and their smile. That's what it was. So they did all of these studies about when the mom would see their baby smile as opposed to another baby.
Mm-hmm.
And like the oxytocin and dopamine that was released in the moms, it was just like off the charts when it was her child. Do you know what
oh
I mean?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that's
it's
amazing,
crazy. And then also when they said, so it was the smile and the odor of your specific child. The
oh
mom is like, gets
like
a dopamine
yeah,
hit
drunk,
from that. Isn't
well,
that wild?
That is wild.
Wild.
And you almost wonder maybe how like postpartum depression
yeah,
would pan into this.
They did talk about it.
Because
yeah,
you hear that and it almost makes sense why maybe in the brain chemically like it's not connecting the way it should.
Yeah.
And
no,
that's where that postpartum could come
yeah,
in.
Yeah. I wasn't, you're dead on. Like there's a whole thing about how and I'm going to botch it, but there's a part in the brain that has like neurotransmitters that is supposed to grab on to the oxytocin, that love hormone, right?
Yes,
and it
right,
holds on to it
sure,
and it remembers it. And in studies that they've done about postpartum, women are lacking in those neurotransmitters to
that's
hold on to that hormone. Yeah, it is.
And you'd wonder why. And then I'm just like thinking, but like you'd wonder why maybe one baby would be more postpartum than the next if the brain like
yeah,
gets
know,
stronger or like
yeah,
learns that skill or if it's or yeah, medication is making it do that skill or whatever.
And
but
what
that's
is
so interesting.
What's so crazy about all of this is like every study that I read about has literally been done in the past 10 years. It's all so new. Like
wow,
they're just now kind of learning what what all is going on in our brains. And it's crazy. And I even read some research that they've done on mice, which, you know, these poor mice that they're testing all the time.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Girl, it was crazy. They say that when a mom breastfeeds, like a human mom, when a human mom breastfeeds, she releases a lot of oxytocin and it helps the two of them to bond. Like,
interesting,
that might be why you find yourself like rubbing your child's hand or like being affectionate to them when you're breastfeeding. Okay.
Yes.
Is because that hormone is flowing through your body. So they found the same thing was happening with these mice, the rats who were feeding their babies. They got more of a dopamine and oxytocin hit while breastfeeding than when they injected them with cocaine.
Oh my God.
Can you believe?
Wow.
They actually did that test on test mice. They injected some of them with cocaine and tested the level. And then they did breastfeeding, you know, when they were feeding their little.
Oh my gosh.
And they had more of a hit off the breastfeeding.
Interesting.
Is that not baffling? I was like, wow.
That is baffling.
That is wild. That was wild to me. So anyway, I just thought that was so cool that we're like literally wired to bond with our child, to love our child beyond anything. You know,
right. You almost like, yeah, when they say that like unconditional love thing, it's like, it's not just an emotional thing. It's like a chemical.
It is. And
feeling,
it never goes
brain,
away. That's
action.
The funny part is that the same way with drug addicts or alcohol addict or anything, any addict. Okay. If you are truly like addicted to something, it's there forever. Those neurotransmitters, like they know what they want, that reward system. It's the same with your child, but
we're
in a good way.
To our children.
No, I mean that in a good way. Like,
no,
I mean the love is
but
there
like,
for life. And how fun that it's like immediate, like
that,
from the moment you see them.
Oh, that's like, yeah, that's fascinating. That's like magical.
And it doesn't mean you have to immediately feel connected to them. I want to make sure that's understood, because I think I've said that before with Landon. I didn't have this like immediate, like I'm in love with him feeling, you know what I mean? That I had with Kate, but like beyond, I mean, I would have died for him in a second. Like having just given birth to this child, I would have done anything for him. And I woke up all the nights and I took care of him and I loved him. It was just like a different connection. You know what I mean?
Well, I think for me, no matter what, almost every baby, it took some time.
Yeah.
I think maybe not Caleb. Like his was pretty instant, but like I feel like my first three, no matter what, like it took just some time to connect. And I thought about this the other day after we did our stories on our children's names, which is funny. Like to me, even like naming a baby and calling them by name is really strange for the first few weeks.
Yeah, you're right.
Like I called them baby for like, I know for sure my oldest, Tristan, I couldn't even call him by his first name. It just felt very weird. Like I remember describing it as like, I don't know this person yet. Like, and just calling him Tristan, like he's not Tristan to me yet. Mm-hmm. And I remember I would just refer to him as the baby for the first like few days, maybe even weeks, to be honest. And then it just like, obviously then that you develop that connection, you feel so tightly bonded. Mm-hmm. And then I started using his name. But for honestly, I know for the first few three, I felt like it took a little time to like know this little person.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden your whole life is revolving around them and they're just a stranger to you, but yet you love them so infinitely. So it's like, it's interesting.
Oh, and you sacrifice it all for them.
Oh, I know.
Oh, it's really, really awesome. It's like so crazy to me, like how we're built chemically and like, you know, physically to like adapt and train. And we all like, we don't have a handbook. That's what blows my mind about parenting is like, there is no guide, you know?
Well, and even if there is a guide, every situation, because every child is so different.
It's so
different. Their circumstances and the way they are to a boy, to a girl, all the personality.
It's crazy. And specifically speaking about mom brain, I did all of this reading because I was like, you know, what is going on and why is it going on? And they said, not only is it that like bonding and everything, but research has shown that they think that mothers kind of become forgetful of other things in an effort to like focus them on their child.
Right.
And like make sure that that child is taken care of and like their attention is not being pulled in other ways. I'm saying that in the wrong way. I should read the exact quote, but
what you said, that you were hyper focused early on.
I guess so.
And you're just very focused on baby. And so everything else kind of is just blurry.
Yeah, let me read it right here. So it says, many researchers hypothesize that these changes are meant to better equip a new mom with the ability to care for her baby. In other words, the brain changes allow new mothers to adapt and zoom in on the needs of her baby. And when their focus becomes narrow and intense, it stands to reason that the peripheral vision will become blurrier. Consequently, if you're experiencing the effects of mom brain, there's no cause for alarm. You're experiencing a normal part of motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, that's comforting.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
But I still feel like I have it now.
I know. And does it say anything about, like, I know you said after a few months, you can tell, like, the brain gets better, stronger.
Yeah.
But is it say, like, does it go away?
Yeah, it says it does, like, resolve within, like, 3 years, I think.
Oh, okay.
But then if
okay.
you're having, like, more baby kids, after baby, just you're cycling. Just in, like, a cycle, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and what is so neat about it is like they even show fathers, like the more that they play with their children or like adoptive parents or stuff like that, that you can develop those same types of bonds and feelings of love, like the brain chemicals, the oxytocin, all of that. It just requires interaction and like engaging with the child.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So anybody can, you know,
have that bond and that love.
Build that.
They said it's just like you have to kind of be engaged and work for it. They did a lot of studies with fathers, like the ones who engage early on and a lot, like more frequent, they have really a lot higher oxytocin levels in their blood than those who don't.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I would say, you know, like for my husband who really like loves babies, I guess you could say, always, it's funny because him and his brothers, like he and his brothers, all of them, like if there's a baby in the room, they're all very drawn to picking up the baby and wanting to hold the baby.
Aww.
No matter who it is, if it's a niece, a nephew, I don't know who it is. They love to hold the baby. So I wonder if like for him, like he was always pretty hands-on, but like if that was just like something going on in the brain early on.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of siblings. It was just always constant. But that's interesting. Oh,
whereas my husband's very opposite. Like he's almost uncomfortable until they hit like three.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to do with an infant. He really doesn't.
No, and I know. An infant, it's a hard stage. For a lot of men.
I also tried to like think of some ways, if you are currently in the depths of mom brain, like some ways that you could just like cope with it other than waiting it out and just laughing it away. The first one I thought is just be patient with yourself and like give yourself some grace, obviously.
Oh, totally.
And know that there are like legit biological things. I think that, that's comforting to me. Knowing that there's like actual biological stuff happening.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's proof that like nothing's wrong with you. You're not a bad mom. This is just like normal.
Or you're not like failing at life. Like that you can't juggle your mom's birthday or like you forgot or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right.
Like just all the little things that you forget. And space on, like it's okay,
right?
Like,
there's major grace, some grace at the
beginning. And it doesn't mean like you're always gonna suck at it.
No,
you'll get it together. Another thing that I kind of saw is just make a lot of lists.
Yeah,
wake up, have a plan for the day. I'm a big list person. Are you?
Yeah, no, I do lists. It just depends the days.
Yeah,
but and even more so than a list, like even like calendaring, like I like to have it in my phone, but then I also like to have like a paper write down too at home.
I know,
just
I know.
To see like a visual. So you don't forget, like I have to go here, or I have to do that, or I'm meeting this one. So that's helpful too.
I'm like a big paper list person.
No, and it's very satisfying.
It's so satisfying.
Cross off things, see what you're at, where you're at.
Like I don't like the notes on my phone.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's so different.
My husband, he will not write anything on paper. He's so digital. And I love a post-it note.
I love paper too.
Love it.
That is so funny because in the car the other day, I said something and I was like, oh, in your day timer. And I go, oh my gosh, George, when was the last time you heard the word day timer? I loved getting new day timers like every year.
You're aging yourself.
Yeah, I am.
Big time.
Oh, well, then there was the day timer and then my dad got me a Palm Pilot.
Oh.
Do you remember the Palm Pilots?
Totally.
I was like chuckling so hard in the car with my husband because I was like, oh my gosh, I am old.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
I taken it back to the Daytimer days and I loved it though.
Oh,
like,
totally.
There is something again for like a paper calendar and writing my crap down.
Oh.
So.
Totally. I think I'm a visual learner.
Yeah.
Like when I write it.
Well,
I
it's
think
probably
I
like our
it.
Generation. That's how we grew up. So it's like what we know and we like. So
100%. And kind of in the same concept as that is like utilize alarms and reminders on your phone.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
So like I can remember, oh, I just thought of one, like a few times when I had like recently, I would be like watering I know one time I left the water on in the swimming pool. I was filling the pool up and I did it like way, way, way too long. I left the hose on and my water bill, like all the things.
Yes,
you know what
we
I mean?
Were just talking
just
about
stupid
that.
Stuff
oh,
like that.
I
like
hate
leaving
that.
Water, like, so set timers, utilize the alarms on your phone, all the things. Okay, so the next thing, really quick, is just planning ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And this is mainly just having some systems. So keep your keys in the same place. Keep your purse and your wallet in the same place. Keep your credit card in your wallet, Lauren.
Yes.
Waldrum, no, Willis.
That's so funny you went there to the next one because I was thinking, oh, we didn't even like touch on losing things because losing things is major mom brain over here.
How many times have you lost your debit card?
Well, actually, I will say I've only had to like cancel it once in my whole life.
No way.
But it's gone missing for a few days at a time. I'm like, ew, what jean pocket is it in? What purse side pocket is it in? That's my thing. Like if I'm getting gas, I've probably mentioned this, I slide in the back pocket and then the next day it's not in my wallet. So I tend to be bad at that or losing my keys. There's been a few tragic days of where I've been stuck or missed an appointment because I just couldn't find the darn car keys.
I can remember you early in motherhood, the one with Tristan hiding them. Did he hide them somewhere?
Yes.
Behind a pillow.
Yes, behind the pillow. Yeah. Yes.
And we were in manhunt mode.
Yeah,
for the
and
key.
I missed something. Like I was supposed to be leaving somewhere and I'm frantically looking and I don't remember what it was, but I literally had to be like, I'm not going to make it. Don't have the car keys. And they were gone for like a day.
They were.
And then I finally found them. Yes. Oh my gosh.
I'm starting to remember things about you.
Oh my gosh.
Was
what?
There, did you lock yourself out of your house at one point? In your underwear?
Yes.
I'm putting you on blast right now.
I wasn't in
what
my
was
underwear.
That?
I was in weird clothes though. Like something like.
But it was like an embarrassing moment.
Yeah,
right?
It was. No, I remember saying, oh my gosh, could you imagine? I had just barely gotten out of the shower and I think I put like my like house dress, like nightgown thing on.
Okay.
And I'd stepped outside, but I was like, could you imagine if I just hadn't? Like, what would I have done? I literally.
Didn't you lock yourself out of the house?
Yeah, I was locked out.
How did that happen?
I went
this
through my back
tangent.
Door, my French door, and like the handle had, someone had turned the handle, and I don't even know. I barely even pulled it behind me. Like I think I'd stepped out to get something from the kids, and then I went back and it was locked. And I'm trying to remember where my kids were. They were sleeping? They were napping?
I don't remember.
Because I think I'm pretty sure that's why I was like stressed. They're like inside.
Yeah. And they're too little to help you.
Yeah, but they weren't like roaming. Yeah. I remember I would have probably broke a window at
totally.
That case. Like I would be like, oh no, they're gonna like drown in the toilet.
Right.
But
yeah.
I remember I think they were sleeping, and I remember I walked over to my neighbor's house like in my weird outfit. I think it was just like jammy dress or something. And the only thing, and I forget why. I think George was.
I don't
out
remember.
Of town. There was something extreme about it. I had this little gutter hole, like square screen. Into my garage. I mean, it literally was this big. And my neighbors, Duncan and Bess, came over and we unscrewed it, took the screen off, and they're like, okay, crawl through and you'll go to the garage door and I'll open the garage, the actual like door in the house. And I'm like, I don't know if I can fit in that hole. Like, I really don't know if I can. And Bess is like not much smaller than me, but she's like, I'll try. So she literally crawls through the hole for me.
Oh my gosh.
Goes through my garage door. And I was like, bless your heart, you
oh
guys.
My gosh.
And she went to the front door and opened it. But I
that's
was like,
so funny.
Holy crap.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay, the next one is develop a routine. And I'm queen of the routine. I thrive on structure. I thrive on predictability. And especially if you feel like you're just in like a sleep deprived haze of life right now, like just do yourself some favor. If you're not sleep training your child, consider sleep training.
Totally.
Just try to get people sleeping again. Because
exactly.
I really do feel like, for me at least, sleep was the root of it. I do.
Totally. And I would say most cases it is like trying to function and make it through your day and enjoy being a mom. Like you just have to be rested.
But like, I mean, everything feeds off of that. Like when I'm not sleeping, like I said, I'm making bad health decisions in regards to like food. I'm eating junk, sugar. Like I just don't feel good physically.
Right.
And so I feel like when you can get the house sleeping in a schedule and a predictable routine, life just starts to kind of flow a little bit better.
Agreed.
A little bit. Okay. And then another tip that we would give anybody is just don't be afraid to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like you are in that place where you're just like, don't you remember those early newborn days?
Oh, totally.
You're just at your wit's end and you're exhausted and you need the nap.
Oh, yeah.
Just ask for help. There's people all around you. There's neighbors, there's friends, people you may not have talked to in months. They would still love to help you because 9 times out of 10, they know how you're feeling. They would want to help.
And I think this is a fair place to say, too, if you feel like it's like an extreme situation, you should look into maybe it is postpartum. Like if some of these things aren't adding up for you, and even if you're listening right now and you're like, that is just not me. Like I'm not feeling that way. I'm not doing those things. Like I think this just full circle comes back around to possibly there's that postpartum depression that can happen equally.
True.
And as well, ask for help and seek that help out and maybe a doctor just to like, you know, find answers and make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Totally. The other thing is, in any way that you can, try and boost your brain health. So drink a smoothie every now and then, load it up with like those good
exercise, natural endorphins. You always feel better after that.
Exactly. Try as much as you can to maybe read a little bit, even if it's on your phone during nap time, try to read something that you find interesting, educational, just kind of keep the brain working. Play a puzzle on your phone, like something maybe a little bit challenging to just kind of stretch the brain muscles a little bit. Because I do feel like along with the sleep deprivation, the mom brain sets in real hard when you're at week like 6 with your baby and you're home all day by yourself and husband's not there or whatever, you know. I feel like the days get long, they get lonely.
It totally does.
Especially today when we're on our devices all day long, like we're having these like one-way relationships with people. Maybe just get off of social media, read something that you find interesting, educate yourself a little bit.
Well, and I feel like that definitely can be so amplified right now with like quarantine, because even if you do have little ones right now and you're already feeling that way, quarantine's only enhanced that by tenfold. And so using all of this and just and hopefully right now we're starting to get out and you can really like even just the fresh air or walking around the park or something, that's going to help you feel better. It's funny because I'm literally saying these exact lines to my kids right now, because we have talked about like I am trying to just keep going with a little bit of schoolwork, just a little bit, a worksheet here and there. And I'm like, I'm trying to prevent your brains from turning too much. I've literally said that like 3 times this morning.
Oh my gosh, right.
I want your brain to move a little. Like we need to keep it moving. You've already been out of school an extra 2 months. Like, let's keep our brains moving a little bit longer so we don't fail the second grade next year, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm literally giving that exact speech to my kids right now.
It's so true.
Read something. Read 2 pages, please. Just do something with your brain.
It's so true. Oh, my gosh. And then the last exclamation point we have to put on this whole discussion is just carve out time for yourself. We say this over and over and over again, but like we're going to say it again today. Mom brain is a result of all the things we have on our plate.
Yeah.
It's the pregnancy, it's the hormones, it's the, you know, the baby, trying to figure out your newborn baby, the diaper changes, the breastfeeding, the formula feeding, like work. It's all the things you're trying to balance. And it just gets to be a lot. And you sometimes end up at the very bottom of the priority list, always. I don't know how that happens, but it always happens. And whatever you can do, take some time for yourself. That might be a hot, long shower, uninterrupted.
Yes.
Lock the bathroom door.
Yep.
Lock the bedroom door. find some time to yourself. And I mean, what are some things you could do at home without spending some money that we could suggest? I mean, I'm trying to think.
Well, yeah, you said the shower, or I say a bath.
Yeah.
Or yeah, going and getting in bed early and watching a show or a movie, maybe saving like your favorite treat for, you know, bedtime.
That was a fave of ours.
Oh, totally. Getting the kids to bed a tiny bit early so you have extra time. I wish I was more of a reader, and I slowly think like my day will come here soon that I'll start reading again. But if you're into books, mm-hmm. I mean, reading a book, I even think, you know, like I said, maybe even exercising. That's not always like a priority for us, but you just feel better afterwards. You feel good. Oh, yeah. So, I mean,
take some time for you.
Yeah.
Make sure to do that. And I think also, whether you're a spiritual person or not, taking time for that as well. Like just slowing down, whether it's praying, meditating, reading scripture, like whatever it is. I think that's a huge help for me also when I'm mindful to do it.
Yeah.
It like kind of centers you a little bit. It puts things into perspective.
Yeah.
Like all of it. And for me, that can be like something I can do to kind of reset in a way.
It's crazy because I feel like back then the days seemed just so long and so crazy. But at the same time, they were such simpler days. And like, there's sometimes I miss that in a weird way. Like I remember feeling crazy having four little kids at home, like five and under. It was wild and it was busy. And you would just, I have like would pull up videos and some video and photos like recently. And I'm literally just sitting on the floor. Like that's like was my stationary spot. A baby crawling on me, one crawling away, toys on the floor. Tristan jumping on the couch, just like that was where we parked it. We parked it there for a few hours every day and we just played and watched, you know, Disney Junior and like, but those were the simpler days too. And there's something to be appreciative for that. And if you ever can just step back and be like, these are the sweet, simple days. And someday you might miss it. You might. It might be a while, but you might miss it. Do you not, Sarah? Not at all. She's like shaking her head at me.
I'm thinking.
Because it's just you know, like a hindsight's different. 2020. Like, it's crazy now too, but yeah. It's a different crazy.
It is. And I think it's funny or it's different to like look back on it now.
Oh,
having been through it, right?
Right. Oh, totally.
Yeah. I can look back at it now, but like those feelings are still pretty raw for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I took to motherhood a little bit harder than I think you did. You were a more natural, nurturing. Let's be honest. You wanted to be a mom probably from a young age.
Sure. Yeah.
I didn't know if I would always necessarily, it wasn't ever my first goal in life. Let's be honest. I wanted to have a career. I wanted to do different things. I took my hardest jump was going from zero to one child and just not having a roadmap for it really stressed me out. I can like think so clearly to bawling my eyes out the first 6 weeks of Kate's life. And she was such a good baby. That's what makes me laugh about it now. Like she's my easiest child. And like, I remember thinking how hard it was.
Oh, and it was. And it was.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like it's like hindsight's 2020, but like in those days and in those moments, I felt so alone and isolated and like, I didn't know what I was doing, like all the, but so in love with her at the same time, like all the things, you know, but
that was our brain doing it to us.
I know.
They were letting go of the baby
those
blue
dang hormones.
Hormones in our, to our brains. And we were like, what have we done?
Oh my gosh. Isn't that the truth? And isn't it so crazy that like our kids can beat us up so bad every day in so many ways.
Oh,
they can just let us down. They can disappoint us. Like, but
they
there
can
is
just, be
just
mean.
They can just be mean. But there really is that like undying mom love for them.
Right.
It is crazy.
Literally,
it has to be chemicals. Let's be real.
It has to be crazy.
It has to be at this point. Like God like designed us this way for a reason.
Right. That,
okay.
You know, we won't give up on them.
Oh
we'll
my
keep
gosh.
Coming back.
It's incredible.
It is. Yeah. And there are different instances where I can think of like older adult children, obviously, where there has been nothing but like love and forgiveness over and over again. And it is, yeah, it's amazing.
I know
the way God designed it, because that's pretty,
it's incredible.
Amazing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're going through it, girl, we feel you. We've been there. I'm still there to some degree.
Right. And that's the truth. I mean, we still have little kids. We still are there.
It's so, coming out of the fog. Yeah. Maybe. I lost my keys today and I was going crazy.
Coming out of the
okay.
fog.
Hits and misses. Good Lord. What's your hit of the week?
Well, talking about, yeah, like the school thing and trying to just like use our brains a little bit. My sister and I were talking about it, and she had gone to a really good like reading summer school program last year from a gal that we've known our whole lives. She used to be a teacher. And she said, there's no shame in paying your kids to read. Like you should pay your kids to read because
really?
They will read. And she said, which I thought was interesting, like, again, a teacher of like 25 years. And so my sister was saying she was going to do some sort of money program, like every book he read, her child read, or maybe chapters or whatever. So I think I'm going to do that with my kids, because my kids are kind of eager to earn some money for some things. And so I think kind of come chapter books, we're going to do kind of our own summer reading program. We've done that with the library a few times, but obviously, I don't know, things are so out of commission right now.
I like
so we're
that.
Just going to kind of implement our own reading program. And I haven't decided how much I'm going to pay them per book. Like, I don't want to get too much ahead of myself, but then I want them also to feel motivated to actually sit down and read a book. Unfortunately, my kids are just not bookworms. Like, I wish they were. I don't know if I didn't do it enough, or if I didn't read with them enough, or if they just point blank don't like it, like it's just them, their personality. I just wish they would get into some good books.
I know.
And I think it's there for every child. They just have to find like the right thing for them. But oh, I just like loved reading when I was like.
I didn't.
Oh, see, I loved it.
I've never been a reader.
I loved reading from like second to sixth grade. Like I was all about the Babysitter's Club. I was all about, I mean, there's just so many different books. And now there's even like so many more good books between.
I really can't speak to that.
Oh.
I've never, ever been a reader. And my question as you're saying all of this is it okay for children to listen to books now that that is such a thing now? Like
I don't
Audible.
Think, I don't think it does any benefit to them. I
you
think
don't.
I think, oh, cool, they know a good story. But I think the benefit of a child reading is the comprehension that they're reading from word to brain. I think it's sounding out the letters. I think it's expanding their vocabulary. So all of those things are kind of crucial. And that's the thing. If there's anything I could get them to do this summer, it'd probably be reading, because all those things are crucial.
Right.
And they're not even going to understand the word math problem if they can't read the words.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really comes full circle in reading. And, I mean, you can't push it enough. So the thing is, in an Audible, it's like, yeah, they listen to a cool story, but it's not doing anything for them academically, mentally. You know
I only
what I mean?
Ask because, like, that's the only way I
get a story
quote yet. Unquote
right,
read a book.
Yeah.
Is I listen to
it
on
sure.
Audible.
Totally.
But
I mean,
yeah,
heck, we're a podcast. Like, that's just like our generation now. Like, it's so much of like listening to people.
No, but like
stories.
Reading is a struggle for me.
Yeah, no, I get
I,
it.
Like,
I get it.
I can't focus. I'm thinking about something else. I turn
oh,
the
been,
page and
yeah,
I don't
there,
even know what I read.
Yeah, there's so many times where I'm thinking about something and then you have to like reread the page.
Exactly. Whereas
so,
I feel like if I'm listening to it, I'm just kind of retaining what I hear and all. I don't know.
Oh, but anyway. There's still a skill in like listening to what you're listening and absorbing it to like if you're thinking like. Now that I'm listening to more things while I'm working, if I'm paying attention too much to the work, I can't comprehend what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
But then if I'm
I've
listening,
been doing it a long
I have
time.
To redo my work. I'm just like, oh, it's kind of a balance there too.
It's new for you. Yeah. I've been doing it for 10 years. So
I
listen to stuff all day long.
Yeah.
I have to have it on to do my work. But like my husband can't. He has to have silence while he
works.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, my hit of the week is just a simple one, but I'm kind of proud of it. Is I think I've mentioned before that throughout the school year, every Friday, I would take my kids to go get a soda. Like it was just our tradition and our
right.
thing that we did. And I can say, honestly, like throughout quarantine and all, I maintained that. Every
Good.
Friday tradition.
That's so fun.
We broke it out. We got in the car in our pajamas most of the time
yep.
still. No shoes on, didn't get out of the car, but we would still go get our soda and our cookie. And like, that was still our thing. And we've still done it every Friday. And I can
That's
feel good
so
about
cute.
That. Yeah.
That's so fun.
Like I really, I want tradition to be a thing in my family.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to kind of carve them out or know which ones to develop, but I think this legit will be one.
Yeah.
Oh, like no, our I soda that. Runs.
That's so fun. Yeah. Oh, that's so, right up your alley. That's so
it
fun.
It totally is. My husband will hate that.
No, I love it.
Oh my
it.
Gosh, he'll hate it. Okay. Tell us about your epic miss.
My epic miss this week, and I'll try to be quick. So last week I was driving home from my sister's house on one of like the bigger freeways in town. It's the 101. And I was going southbound and I was just driving along. And okay, I'll be totally honest, you guys, I was not on my phone. Like, good. I think when people think car accidents, they immediately be like, well, were you on your phone? Were you texting?
I didn't think that.
Oh, good. Because I kind of feel like you almost have to like, you know, explain yourself. And I was like, I was not. I was just driving along in my lane and out of nowhere from the left-hand side, my driver's side, some bozo comes flying through. And I don't even know. I feel like what I could interpret it as was like a reckless driver. He was just trying to switch in and out, I think, really fast.
Okay.
And he cut it too short. That's what I think happened. Maybe not. Maybe he wasn't paying attention and he's just flying at 75 and he's just swerved right into me. I'm not really sure. But no matter what, he hit me just right so that like it just slammed me into the next lane. Like I was such a shock and just fast and hard enough that I flew into the next lane and I poor Honda Odyssey, older van, comes up on my right side and I hit them and they fall into the shoulder and hit the cement wall. And as I'm like looking at him and I'm trying, there's so much you're thinking about in a car accident. You're thinking the kids, the car to the right. Literally, it was like in the movies where I was
slow-mo.
Flying to the right, thinking what's coming from behind me. Like, I don't know. There could have been a freaking semi coming and I'm flying into his lane. That was like terrifying. Thankfully, it was just a van and I was still even bigger than the van in my Tahoe, but I smashed into that and then I kind of swerved back into my lane just in time to see the idiot fly off. And he hit and ran, like he drove off. He hit me and I could see him going, the smaller silver kind of four-door sedan. I could see his right bumper just total hole banged up.
Oh my gosh.
So I hurry and pull over with this van who's already in the shoulder and he's got like a flat tire. He's banged up on both sides. And I feel bad because he thinks I hit him at first. I'm like, no, some idiot hit me on my left and pushed me into you. And he's like, oh man.
So what was your immediate like reaction with the kids? Were they screaming?
They were actually okay. It was like, because I mean, it was like a jostled like choon choon, like, but it wasn't enough like a sudden stop or like abrupt, like, I don't know. I will say no one pulled over to like either witness or say anything about the accident on the freeway. But I will say by the time I got off the freeway and pulled over and we were calling, two people stopped and were like, are you guys okay? Do you need water? Did you need anything? And I thought that was really nice. Two women, and they were like almost insistent, like, let me get to the gas station and get you drinks. Aww. And I was like, no, 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 it's okay. Like, my kids are going to get picked up. Like, we're okay. We're just trying to knock it out. They were really, really kind. So,
well, do you feel any different driving on the freeway now?
No, I'm okay. I'm not nervous to drive.
No, I only asked because I got in a freeway accident.
It wasn't bad enough.
Yeah, I got rear-ended on the freeway going about 60. It totaled my car. And that's how I found out I was pregnant with Kate. Do you remember?
I do.
I went to the hospital and they did blood work and they told me I was pregnant.
Yes, I do.
But I was like I had like anxiety for a while driving on the freeway. Thinking people were going to hit me again.
Yeah, no, rear ending. And that is so scary when you're so like it's totally out of your control. And maybe that was it because I was in the driver's seat and like I was able to kind of like,
I like saw it coming. Yes. I was like, he's going to hit me. And it hit and it hurt. And I was like,
that's terrifying. That's terrifying. I know exactly what you're talking about. And that is a really scary feeling.
Yeah, it was wild.
Totally helpless.
Okay. My miss is a quick one, but it's kind of pathetic actually. I still have not filed my taxes for the year.
Taxes,
and it's been hanging over my head for like weeks and weeks now. Like April 15th has like come and gone.
Long
ago.
Yeah.
My accountant's like, oh, it's been extended to whatever. And I'm like,
thank goodness.
Oh my gosh, though. Seriously. I'm usually so on the ball with things like this. And I keep putting it off. And I'm like, Sarah.
You'll get crazy. It. No, I know.
No, I just feel like it's a major, major miss.
I think we're all in that mess. Like with the quarantine,
really?
I think just everything's like,
I don't know,
an afterthought. I think everything has the hall pass. Everything's delayed, like all of it.
I guess.
I do.
Man. So anyway, so that's my mess. nice. I got to get on my taxes. Okay, well, that will do us for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it a little bit and embrace the mom brain at this point.
Embrace the mom brain and the mom voice and being a mom.
Being a mama. We're there with you. And we will be back next Monday with a new episode. You can go find us on social media at the Mom Voice Podcast. And as always, if you like what you hear, please share us with your friends or go leave us a rating and a review. Okay, we will be back next week. Bye-bye. Yes.
Thank you, guys.